I'm talking now to Rex Southwell, who was an apprentice carpenter joiner, and he worked for Jock Simi & Co. only on Saturdays in 1951, the Narrabunda Preschool. Rex, can you tell me what Jock Simi was like as a boss, as the big boss of Simi & Co.?
Well, Jock Simi was a real regular guy. He came from Melbourne. He was an ex-First World War serviceman, and he lost his leg. He had one leg, a wooden leg, and he was a real good boss. Simi's had the reputation that if you work for them and you're a good employee, you stay with them forever. And he had carpenters in different trades, all the trades, working for him for, you know, 10 years when I got there.
I see. So it was besides carpenters, he had plumbers, electricians?
Oh, not plumbers, they were subcontractors, but bricklayers, plasterers he had, painters, all the most of the trades other than the electrical and plumbing, because they're a registered sort of a trade, they're licensed trades.
Oh yeah. And would he have had a project manager, like just for the Narrabunda Play School?
No.
A foreman?
Dud Layla was the manager for Canberra. He came from Melbourne, and there was two foremen, George Story, who came from Newcastle, and Tommy Rickman, who came from in Victoria but lived in Queanbeyan. And they used to, they'd get a job and they'd allocate one of the foremen to look after it, but Dud Layla went round all his jobs in Canberra, and he'd come to the play school, and he'd go to any others that he had. Like, they always had a job at the Times office in Maud Street, because Jock Simi had shares in it, and he had shares in the Canberra Steam Laundry. We used to get jobs up there.
Oh yeah.
But a lot, they had a lot of work on in Canberra, though. It had a good reputation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, if you
reliable build builders, and you had to go be a good job. You had to be a good tradesman with them too.
Yeah.
But they always stuck with the employees. Like, if work got slack, they didn't put you off. You'd go to their yard at Kingston, and you might be cleaning up old pieces of timber, taking nails out of them for reuse and stuff like that.
Oh,
and they got a job, and then you'd go to the new job.
Yeah. And you worked on the Europe... a carpenter and joiner on the windows in the play school. Was that all made up? Was that prefabricated, or did you make it up on the site, or was it partly fabricated?
When I went there, the preschool was already erected, and another chap and I hung the concertina doors on one block, and another two fellas hang the doors on the other side of the division. But I hang all the windows, all the
sliding doors, was it?
No, the sashes outside, what are they called?
Oh, it doesn't matter.
These outside shutters on the windows.
Oh yeah.
And one of the incidents on that job was I got the job to hang all the shutters, and they had a parliament hinge on them that allowed the shutter to open out wide enough to lay back flush against the wall of the preschool. And there was a real acute shortage of all materials in those days. It was just after the war. And the only way they could get these parliament hinges was to go to the government, who had a lot of jobs in Canberra, of their own jobs, government jobs. And they took they had a hinges left over off old jobs and some that they'd, replace the shutters. And they had all these old hinges, and they were covered in paint and everything. And I had to fit all these hinges, but we only had exactly the right number. And they were all different steel and cast iron and other stuff, metal they had, which was very dicey. It was called, that's another one that I can't get. Oh, anyway, I touched it with a hammer to straighten it a little bit, and it fell to pieces. And then we were short of two hinges to fit the last shutter on the preschool. And it took them a fortnight to find two more Parliament hinges so we could complete the job.
Oh, yeah. And how many guys were working, approximately how many guys would have been working on the Saturday on the side of the play school?
Oh, that could be...
There'd be a dozen or more.
Oh, could be 50 or 60 guys.
Wow. And, you said last week that you were known as the sugar bag carpenters. Can you just elaborate on that and, like, your method of getting to work? I think you said you got on bikes and... What were your tools of trade at the time?
Well, Simi had a good policy, which they worked. If you lived in Queanbeyan, worked the closest job they could to Queanbeyan, and if you lived in Ainslie like I did, they'd work you on all the jobs closest to Ainslie, so you didn't have so far to travel, whether you travelled by car or whether you were on push bike, and a lot of people were on push bikes.
Yeah.
And if I was working on the north side, say at the steam laundry, the Dudley say, can you work at Narrabundra on Saturday? So he'd say, you only want a minimum amount of tools because you'll be laying flooring, which all you needed was a saw, a square, and hammer and nail bag sort of thing. So you could put them in a sugar bag and put them over your shoulder and take your lunch in another bag on the other side, and you ride the bike down to Narrabundra and work all day at Narrabundra.
So you knew what you were going to do, so you knew what tools to take.
Well, you could just ask him, if you say, what would I be doing? But if you were doing something else, you'd take the appropriate tools down. But he always made it easy so that you didn't have to cart too many tools. They get pretty heavy.
Oh, yeah. And let me see, you mentioned Jack Gerstenberg.
Yeah.
And his cooking expertise.
Yeah. Jack Gerstenberg was in charge of a work gang that erected just about all the frames down there. And they used to work very hard, this gang. And it was winter time, very cold. And they were working really hard, so they decided that they were going to have a hot lunch instead of just sandwiches.
Yeah.
So Jack Gerstenberg, he must have been a cheerest cook at some time, I think, or he was pretty handy anyway. And he had a big old iron camp oven, and somebody we'd be allocated to bring the sausages or the meat or whatever, and the others would bring some potatoes and vegetables and whatever, and they'd peel them up and get them ready. And Jack used to be in charge of the camp over.
Oh, yeah.
And he'd get a fire going. There was plenty of fire buckets and things around because it was cold and wet and stuff like that. Jack would have this camp over going over a fire in the middle of or a paddock almost, in amongst the houses. And he had a habit of, at about 11 o'clock, he used to check how it was going, food.
Was it stew or something like that?
Stew, yeah, basically stew, see. Mm. And he'd add something, a bit of salt or whatever may be necessary. And when he lifted the lid off the camp oven, the smell wafted all around the job, and you got an appetite immediately.
Yeah.
Jeez, it smelled good. And then they used to sit down and have all their hot lunch while other people would have sandwiches and whatever they had. But then they had to start peeling potatoes and things to get ready for the next day.
Oh, yeah.
But it went on for all the time, I think. And one morning...
Was that in the street where the preschool was? Was he working on the preschool?
Yeah, he worked in the preschool.
And were they other builders still working on the houses in the street?
Well, Simi would have a big... He might have had, a section of 30 houses.
Oh, yeah.
And another builder might have another section over there. He might have 15 or something like that. But there wasn't too many. Simi was doing a lot there when I went there. And one morning they... were coming out from Queanbeyan, and they must have seen this duck fly into the power lines or something, and it got killed. Anyway, these fellas took it to work, and Jack plucked it and stuck it in the stew, or in the camp oven. He cooked it.
And do you have any stories about the there would have been a few. New Australians, the immigrants working on the sites. Yeah, do you have any stories about them?
Oh, it was just after the war, see, and there was a lot of migrants down there. They could hardly speak English, most of them. There was a big gang that was working for the government, digging trenches for the water mains and sewer mains and that. And there could be 60 blokes with pick and shovels digging these trenches along.
Yeah.
But there was two fellas on the job. One was a Steve, a new Australian fella. I don't know what nationality he was, but he had a bit of, he could speak a little bit of English and was a bit advanced on some of them because all he could do was wave your hands around to talk to him. And an English fella. And they were working together as labourers on the job. And one day they had an argument. And it got a bit heated after a while. And Steve said to this Englishman, "You can't speak Australian." And he said, "You say, bring the burra." And he said, "It's the barra." And he said, "You say you're working in Narrabunda." "It's a Narrabunda." So that was a joke round the job for ages.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, we'll just take a break for a minute. Yeah. One, two.